Viewer discretion advised.
Come get on the whole train.
Wait a minute.
Hit it.
Welcome into the Sports Buffoons Podcast. Yo, let's get going out there, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of the world. Welcome on and back again, once again, to the Sports Buffoon Studios here out of Lenexa, Kansas, of course. Woo, so good to be here, you guys. We got Jason JG to my left, Tanner Dawson to my right. I'm Mike Settle here running it. And, man, it is a great week to be here lively and talking a little Chiefs football. It's the middle of February about to come up, and we're still talking football because we get to, because we deserve it, because we're in the goddamn Super Bowl this weekend. Against the 49ers.
Welcome to hell.
How you guys feeling, man?
I'm just glad they fixed the damn potholes from a few weeks ago, man.
Did they fix them all?
Dude, I tore up my tires.
I think they got all of them. But
I tore up my tires so bad, dude. I'm just glad they got them fixed. So shout out to KDOT and MoDOT for not ruining my car last
week. Man. I saw them patching up a bunch of them along the way, but that's the one thing. I guess we all worked together and did our jobs, I guess, to make it happen. Like, you know, cars having to get stuck on the entrance ramps because it's an emergency pothole fix. And you're just sitting there for half an hour.
By the way, what would you guys do if you found a $100 bill sitting on the floor? What would you do?
It depends
about
on
that?
Where I'm at. Like, if I found one here at Tanner's mom's house, I would probably ask, hey, was this for your mom? Is this your mom's money? Because, you know, that's probably what I'd ask. But if it was a thing where I was out in the public and I saw it just sitting there by itself and no one was around, yeah, I'd probably pick it up and probably keep it. I mean, I don't know. I mean, no one's claimed it, so I might as well just hold on to it.
All right, that makes me feel better about myself.
Yeah,
based on what happened earlier.
Why are you asking that?
I was at the casino and I found a $100 bill on the floor, and I was like, okay, you know, it's fair game. Happened to me before in a casino in Las Vegas, and I know like state laws are different, but I picked it up off the floor and. You know, I was like, I'm going to keep the money, you know? But I found out a little bit later that I guess, allegedly, in the state of Missouri, that if it falls on the ground, it's not like it is in Las Vegas. In Las Vegas, it's fair game. State of Missouri, it becomes the casino's money. So that's how the law was described to me a little bit earlier in the evening. And so...
So if it's the casino's money, why didn't the casino staff go and claim their money while it was laying there on their property?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. My firm belief is that somebody actually claimed it, but you know, who knows? I found money on the floor in casinos before. So if any of you guys just want to wander around in the casinos and look for, you know, big bills, small bills, whatever you want to look for.
Sounds like it's not worth it to me.
That might be the place to look. Because, I mean, if nobody claims it, then you can just keep the freaking money and get rich, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It'd be very situational. How much have I had a drink, you know, has to go into it, so...
Wait, why does that matter?
It just matters.
You can't be drunk.
Judgment can be delayed. And, you know, your judgment can be delayed if you're intoxicated, so...
Well,
you may not do it sober, but you might do it drunk.
If it's laying there and there's no one else around, I'm going to grab it and just... I'm going to hold on to it for a while. That's what I'm going
to
do.
Anyway, I had to pay it. Long story short, I had to pay it back, and I made the casino pay for it. So I felt really good about myself. I used it as a motivational thing.
In some ways, you paid it forward, and then they paid you forward afterwards. So.
Yeah. I use it as a motivational thing. Like they probably lied to me and said, oh, that belongs to this person or that person. But I gave it back to them, the $100 bill. And I proceeded to rape the casino in cards.
Kind of reminds me of like what
I didn't really give a shit after
the
that.
Mentality Patrick Mahomes would have in a situation like that.
Yes.
Where he's gonna give you back what you're asking for, but he's gonna make you pay for it one way or the other. So he's got that type of drive to kind of shove it up their ass. Scott had some comments.
Scott, hope you're doing good, bud. Let's see. He says, "Hi guys. Hi. Is there some game going on? Nope." JG took it to the casino and hit on blackjack. There you go. Hey, Wait, Scott said he's, hold on, I'm missing 100. Get that 100?
Well, it sounds like Scott should go talk to the casino about that 100 and see what happens then. Because they seem a little stingy, but hey, whatever. It is what it is, guys. Well, before we get into, of course, what we're all here for, which is the Chiefs Super Bowl discussion of the day, what are you guys sipping on?
I got the usual, boys. It's the usual freaking buzz balls over here. Chalk teas.
Yeah, you're not mixing it up anymore. Like, every damn week it's the chalk teas now.
Well, I mix it up before I get here. So, you guys know that I'm an old-fashioned guy. Not by age, like, although I am actually...
Well, they used to call it old-fashioned something different back in the day.
I am actually old, but it's not by my age. I just have a really good taste for old-fashions, but I was on the old-fashions for... Feels like a year, year and a half, 2 years. Now I've switched to the Manhattans. And Manhattans seem like a little bit stronger. So I've been hitting them up on the Manhattans a little bit earlier tonight, crushing the casinos. And now I've switched back to my my good old buzz balls. Because why not, right? Mm. Why not put a good buzz on your balls every once in a while?
Well, I was going to say, there's some massage parlors that have some old fashions. Here and there, little handouts. So,
yeah, why don't you ask Robert Kraft about that?
Or yeah, he's Deshaun. Familiar with those.
You should ask Deshaun Watson.
Those old fashions in Manhattan. He's familiar with those.
Who's your biggest role model in the NFL? Is it Robert Kraft or Deshaun Watson? Jesus. Just ask yourself that freaking question. Jesus.
Biggest role model. Well, Robert Kraft has been very successful. So, I mean,
but Deshaun Watson got the first ever guaranteed contract. So, you know.
Yeah, the Browns gave him a lot of money for all that. I mean, that's a good question. We should have a debate about that in the offseason.
Biggest role model. There you go.
I got a little red stag going on right now. So
red stag, always a good choice, of course. That's good stuff.
What the hell is that, by the way? Is that a whiskey? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll try it out. Let's see what happens. Fuck, dude. You don't have COVID, by the way, do you?
No, I got...
Did you get vaccinated? Okay, we're good. All right, yeah, here we go.
SDS?
What?
That's what you guys were saying?
SDS? What are you talking about?
Nah, it doesn't matter, dude. No, he got vaccinated. Sad. I took a drink out of it.
Yeah, sad.
Well, Tanner, that's sudden adult death syndrome.
Oh, okay.
That's different from what you're thinking of.
I took a drink out of that because I know he got vaccinated, so I'm safe. I'm safe and effective.
I'm safe.
Me, as an individual, am very safe and very effective.
He's protecting you. I drank that shit. He's protecting you. All right, guys. Let's jump on in, guys. Just to kick it off real quick, do you guys think it's kind of crazy right now? We've looked at this is a betting show a lot of times, and I think it's kind of crazy right now that the Chiefs are still underdogs. I thought the line would move a little bit throughout the week, and it really hasn't much.
It really moved much.
It's pretty much stayed at -2 for the 49ers. I'm surprised at this rate right now that the Chiefs are still the underdogs in this game. I don't fully understand why. I mean, if you look at the situations of what we've seen now the teams go through to get to this point and the type of opponents they've faced. I mean, the Chiefs had faced, in my opinion, much stronger competition to get to where they're at right now compared to the 49ers. And we've seen the 49ers lose some games earlier this year, two teams the Chiefs just took care of. So to me, that's surprising a little bit. But we can dive more into that here in a little while. But guys, kick it off. What are your initial thoughts going into this game? We didn't talk about it much last week, so just give me your feelings.
By the way, today did have an increase in the line to 2.5 on FanDuel, +2.5, -2.5.
Yeah, wild.
So,
I would say that the narrative is always that Vegas knows something that you don't, or they know something that the public doesn't know. And, you know, I'm just looking at the fact that the Chiefs played against the number 1 and the number 4 overall defenses. 49ers played against the number 10, number 23 overall defenses. And it's just kind of like, you know, the Chiefs had a little bit tougher road to get to this point. And we can use that as a measuring stick.
It's funny that you say little, because it's not little.
Well, I mean, it's not little at Detroit's all. Detroit's defense sucks.
It's not little.
Green Bay's defense, we'll call them mediocre, but at least by the end of the regular season, they were top 10. And I just feel like it's always, when you look at the statistics from the last 20 or 30 years or what have you, like Vegas, when they pick the winner, it's literally like 50-50. I looked it up earlier in the day, and it's like you can just flip a coin. So I don't want people to think that Vegas know something that you don't, they probably know a whole hell of a lot more than you do in terms of these stupid-ass freaking parlays that you all throw your money in the trash on, or some of these, you know, random bets that you do in the game. But for the actual winner, Vegas doesn't actually know that much. And they, I've heard people say that Vegas will never take a bath on the Super Bowl. They've taken a bath before. But
right.
Did you
see the stat earlier that came out, this kind of since 2001 or 2002, the underdog is 11-11 in the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Basically proving your exact point.
Yeah, exactly. And I just, but I've heard people say it's probably on ESPN. I don't know why I hear this. I don't, why do I even listen to ESPN? But they try to tell me, or they try to tell us, that Vegas never takes a bath in these freaking games. And when you get down to the long and short of it, it's a coin toss. Like, Vegas doesn't actually know as much as you think they know. And so if I'm looking at the stats, I mean, yeah, obviously the Chiefs had a tougher road to get there, but that's the point where, you know, Vegas or the NFL might try to do something to flip the script, but it makes no sense to me. I have no idea why the Niners are the favorite in this game.
Me either.
It makes no sense to me, which is why I'm probably going to bet on the Chiefs, but we'll save that for a little bit later in the show.
We haven't discussed our official picks yet amongst each other.
We'll
save
that for later.
We'll save that here for a little while.
I think it's more of a home crowd thing because they're closer to San Francisco, right? So 49ers are going to have more of a home crowd. We kind of seen it in some of the media day stuff as well there. Look, I don't get it as well. And Scott just said it here. NFC can't beat the AFC, and they've never been, you know, never bet against Mahomes in a big game.
Right.
But
14-3 in the playoffs.
Look, I won so many of our Let's Talk Sports Pick'em games because I automatically picked the AFC team over the NFC team. This year's record, it was 46-34. 46-34, AFC versus NFC this year.
Yeah.
Back in 2019, it was 33-31. This is the largest margin of spread between these games that AFC has dominated. We haven't seen AFC do this in years to the NFC. And this is how legit the NFC is a weak division. It's a weak conference.
I think for me, when I look at these teams right now too, and we see Patrick Mahomes face off against some of the top defenses in the league, and every time he prevails, every time he actually plays higher than he should for going against their top five defense, where Brock Purdy, we've seen face a couple top defenses this year, and it's not ended well for him. Especially, you know, think about the idea of going up against a guy like Steve Spagnuolo, who's going to bring different looks that you've never seen before.
Yep.
Just saying, that's stuff that I don't know that the Vegas has really put into thought. I think Jason's right about this, that they don't really know why their current line right now is sitting where it is. But I think in a lot of ways, it's the fans of the world right now want to see the Chiefs lose. Most of them do. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's wishful thinking, but it's going to be wishful sinking for a lot of souls, in my opinion. So that's just the way I feel about the current situation with that. But otherwise, you guys, let's kind of dig into the game for a few minutes here. So do you guys have any keys to victory for the Chiefs in this one? I mean, we talked about that 2 weeks ago before the matchup with the Ravens, and I thought what we talked about, all of us had different points, which was awesome. I talked about turnovers. You talked about some other things. And we all of our answers were right. And so I'm curious what you guys have to say this week.
I would say that it's going to be the exact same thing that I said last week. And you look at the Chiefs' last two opponents in Buffalo and Baltimore. What did we say that they needed to do? The Chiefs needed to stop the run. Well, both of those teams abandoned the run, which when you're talking specifically about Baltimore, they got hammered for that. Like, they were like, you know, everybody was saying, the media was saying, what are we doing here? What was that game plan all about? Because Baltimore did abandon the run, which was a mistake. And so I think my keys to victory is going to be the exact same thing. If you're a Chiefs fan, we want to stop the run because San Francisco, they are going to be the team that does not abandon the run. No matter what you think they're going to do, they will never abandon the run because that's their biggest strength. And Kyle Shanahan is not stupid enough to be like these last two teams that we just faced to just abandon the run for no apparent reason. You know, they're going to use what got them to this point. They're going to use Christian McCaffrey, use Deebo Samuel. I mean, they're going to run the ball up the Chiefs' ass, so to speak. And that should be the game plan. And they should not deviate from that plan. And so, and that's what's going to make Brock Purdy better in this game. If you want to set up Brock Purdy for success, don't abandon the run. So if I'm the Chiefs here, we are not going to allow San Francisco to run the ball. We're going to sell out against the run. The exact same thing that I said last week or 2 weeks ago against Baltimore.
All right, fair enough. That sounds good to me.
I'm going to just capitalize on top of that, stopping the run here. 1,459 yards, 14 touchdowns here. Also, in the receiving category here, 67 receptions, 564 yards, 7 touchdowns. Not only are you going to stop the run, you got to stop the checkdowns. You got to stop Christian McCaffrey. Take him out of that offense and make Purdy beat you with his arm. Make Purdy beat you with a Deebo deep. Make Purdy beat you with Ayuk. Make Purdy beat you with George Kittle. Take C-Mac out of this offense. We all know what they are without C-Mac, and it's not pretty. So I fully believe that. I fully believe you take C-Mac out of that, make his impact very minimal, you take care of the game.
Yeah, you just said we know what it is without McCaffrey, and it's not Purdy. Is that what you just said?
It's not Purdy.
Yeah. Not Purdy. Yeah, no, I agree. I think that is probably one area that's going to be tough for the linebackers on this team is keeping tabs on where Christian McCaffrey's at all times. And those checkdowns like you talked about, I mean, we're going to have a healthy linebacker group. Willie Gay is going to be playing, which is going to be awesome to see back with the team.
Did you see his comments, by the way, Willie?
I have not.
So Willie stated, and I can't remember if it was on the radio or in one of his press conferences, but he stated that if he played against the Ravens, he would not play in the Super Bowl. He wouldn't be able to. So that's just how impactful his injury is. Now, the fact that he had that extra weekend with the sitting down the Ravens, he said he feels so amazing going to the Super Bowl.
So weird. It's a neck injury that came out of nowhere, and I don't even know when and where it happened. I mean, it just popped up, and all of a sudden – guy was missing time, so that's a weird one for sure. Yeah,
that's what he stated, so it's a good thing he sat out.
Willie Gay is huge, guys, because he's like one of the fastest players on the team. And so we need speed if we're going to be able to stop the 49ers, and I feel like this is like a perfect storm. We didn't have him the last game, but now that we do have him, it's perfect for our needs right now. We need speed on this fucking defense.
For me, I want something similar to what we saw 2 weeks ago against the Ravens. I think at the end of the day, to take care of the 49ers, it's going to come down to I want to see the Chiefs get up early before the 49ers. I want to see even if it's 3-0.
Correct.
Get on the board first and then ball control at that point. I want ball control to be meaningful in this game, just like it was against the Ravens. The Chiefs' time of possession against the Ravens, I mean, it was so lopsided, especially that first half. Ravens couldn't get a playoff, you know what I mean? And when they did get the ball, the defense just immediately were shutting them out, and then the ball goes right back to the Chiefs. At that point, we're in ball control mode. We're running the clock. Pacheco's getting 24 attempts in that game. Kelsey's getting all these catches. And I think a similar type of game plan when it comes to, you know, getting that early lead right away, and at that point after that, ball control, making sure you're keeping – when you do have the ball, you're grinding off 5 or 6 minutes every time. And, you know, giving your defense a rest along the way. And also, 5 and 6 minute drives normally turns into points. So I don't really care if it's 3 points, you know, kind of grind it out. I don't see this thing being an explosive game as far as high scoring. The over-under on this is 47.5. I'll save my easy money pick. You guys already know what I'm alluding to. But I have a feeling it's going to be one of those games that's very calculated, very meticulous within the coaching staffs. And they're kind of jockeying for position along the way. So that is my keys to victory. Of course, when the turnover battle, doesn't want that?
Think about it. You want to tire down this 49ers defense. Look what Jordan Love did to this team. You know, 3 weeks ago.
Right, in the same kind of way. They did the same similar thing, ball control.
Ball control.
Methodically working the way down the field. And they weren't picking up huge chunks at a time.
No, you were getting first downs.
But they, consistent first downs and moving the ball.
And that's the thing with the Niners. The Niners, you know, had got that great comeback, you know, whatever, Joe Douglas or whatever the hell the defensive coordinator's name. You know, he blew it for the Packers, essentially, and that's why he got canned. So, like, this is perfect methodical right there. Get the first downs, not the big chunks. And that, I think that's what our offense is actually built upon right now. It's Rashee Rice, Travis Kelce.
Screen pass. Stuff like that. I mean,
we don't have MVS.
We don't have Tyreek Hill anymore, guys. So if there is a deep throw, it's probably going to be MVS because he was literally signed to be a deep threat, even though he's bad at it. I think it's one of those things. Yeah. We have a group, though, that can pick up 5, 6, 7 yards at a time consistently and be reliable that way. And I think that's what we need to rely on in this game.
Oh,
so,
great.
Yeah, get those.
Jerick McKinnon, those guys going. Is he fully active yet?
No, he's
done.
Looking
he's
like
not
he's not
play.
Playing.
Is he official?
Damn.
Well, yeah. Andy Reid said he hasn't practiced at all throughout this process, and that so it's very unlikely. So, unfortunately, McKinnon will probably not be playing in this game. That would have been a great addition for this offense in this
really
game, but you know, we can only have so much, I guess. Yeah. So, Scott had a couple more comments, I think.
Let's see here. Scott said, didn't the Niners get buried by the Ravens? And who just beat the Ravens? Again, I told you, Scott. Look, the Dolphins could be in this game, and I would favor the Dolphins. So that's how big against the NFC it is. So Pacheco is huge in this game as teams who can run on the Niners. And he also says Chiefs have a huge coaching advantage. Shanahan gets way too conservative in big spots. Well,
and
so does the Chiefs.
I like Kyle Shanahan. Well, in big spots, actually, Andy Reid does not get conservative.
No,
Andy Reid gets conservative once
lead.
You have a lead.
The lead. The lead.
Then he gets too conservative.
Yeah.
Kyle Shanahan, I think, is actually a good coach. Better than average. He's an above average coach for sure in this league. But Andy Reid is the greatest. How have I always thought about this for Andy Reid? Because even when Andy Reid was known for his in-game boneheaded decisions with the timeouts and all that and clock management, Andy Reid is still, in my opinion, always was the best coach from Monday to Saturday far as game planning, preparation, getting his team ready for the game coming up that week and the effort put into that. I mean, the guy, you know, basically wakes up at the office. I mean, he doesn't really have this time of year, he doesn't have a lot of personal time. I mean, the guy is just constantly in the stadium working all the time. And I think that he is the greatest Monday through Saturday coach in the league by far, and always has been, actually, in my opinion. But if you know what I mean, you guys are laughing about that, but do you know what I mean by that?
I'm only laughing because he reminds me of me. I eat, sleep, and drink Baccarat. That's all I think about.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Andy does, though. Yeah.
He eats, sleeps, and drinks football.
That's
what he does, and that's what makes him so amazing.
Well, that's why he's going to retire, obviously, right?
Oh, yeah.
He's going to retire.
He didn't shoot that down in the wild card games at all, you know?
Yeah, when we compare his age to Bill Belichick, well, obviously.
Well,
Andy
Bill's
going to
take over. Bill's going to take over.
Sure.
I got,
if that's what they're all saying.
That's going to happen.
Fans out there think Andy Reid's retiring. I got bad news for him. So that's wishful thinking again for other fan bases. Not
keep
so
telling
much
him.
That
he got asked that question in the wild card round. He shot it down. He said, why would I retire?
I can make the case that Bill is old enough that if that actually happened, he would ruin Mahomes. That's how old he is. Because he is way past his prime of coaching,
really,
dude. What is he, 71, Mike? 72?
He's 73.
I don't know that Mahomes
he gets
would
literally,
get ruined by
he
really
could
anybody.
Ruin Mahomes.
Belichick is 73.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
I don't think they need – whatever. This is a hypothetical thing that we don't need to get into. I'm sorry.
It's a dumb
thing. It's unnecessary.
But you want Bill.
I want Bill Belichick. Oh, yeah.
This is just as dumb as the whole Travis Kelce proposing bet. So. Mm.
Okay.
That's about as dumb as our buffoon topic that's coming a little bit later.
Well, yeah.
We don't want to let that out.
It's always dumb.
Don't let that shit out, boys.
From our standpoint, though, you know, 49ers have a lot of talent on offense and defense, for that matter. You guys can pick one player, either side of the ball, that you guys – I want you guys to name off. Who would be the most concerning weapon San Francisco has that the Chiefs need to be worried about? But you can't both pick the same guy. That's all I can say.
Well, I guess I'm going first then to try to screw him over.
You guys better yell the name out.
So there, you know, you got so many weapons on San Francisco 49ers that my most concerning weapon is going to be Brandon Ayuk. Okay. And the reason why he's the most concerning for me is because you look at all the threats on this team, and the temptation is to put all of your attention as a defense on CMC, George Kittle, and Deebo Samuel. And when you do that, all of a sudden you're going to leave wide open a guy like Brandon Ayuk, who had 75 receptions for 1,342 yards and 7 touchdowns, who would be the number one wide receiver on a lot of NFL teams. And so to me, he's the biggest threat that we need to look out for, because you don't want to put all of your eggs into one basket or two baskets or what have you and just leave a guy like Brandon Ayuk wide open, because the guy is a freaking monster. Like, you and I have talked about this before, Mike. We want him to be on the Chiefs next year. Like, we want that to happen.
If it was possible.
So there's a reason why I'm saying, like, he's the biggest threat on the team, is because you don't want to sleep on him if you're the Chiefs defense. Like, we gotta play these guys one-on-one, but that, to me, that's the biggest threat, because you don't want to put too much attention on these other guys, you know, the bigger names on that freaking team, like George Kittle, CMC, and Deebo Samuel. You know, you want to stop them for sure, but you don't want to get too carried away and just leave a guy like Brandon Ayuk wide open.
All right, Tanner, what you got of that?
I could go the obvious route. I could go CMC. I already kind of spoke about him anyways. That would be the correct answer, is CMC. But we're gonna hit the defensive side of the ball. We're going to go Fred Warner, veteran presence, a guy that's a leader of this whole defense. They'll probably, part of the reason why they are, one of the best defenses in the season, in the league.
You could combine the both season. Linebackers. You got Greenlaw.
I know Greenlaw's right there.
I mean, is those two as a package? I mean, right now, I mean, is it's not as good as Patrick Willis and Takeo Spikes, but
no, it's pretty
a really
solid
good combo.
It's really solid, and that's, you know, that could be a worry. That could be a worry in the run game, but that's also a little worry for the middle part of the field for Mahomes. You know, Travis Kelce lives in the middle. I mean, you went against Patrick Queen 2 weeks ago. Roquan Smith was right there, and you're able to beat these guys. Fred Warner has a little bit more bags, tricks up his sleeve for a Travis Kelce. That's going to have to involve more guys from Mahomes. Noah Gray has to be involved here. We might even see a Blake Bell signing, for God's sakes, at this point here, which we don't want to see at all. But yeah, I think Fred Warner is a big threat for us, and a guy that could make an impact against not only our run game, but our passing attack as well.
Yeah, for me, I mean, since we already talked about McCaffrey, I think Deebo Samuel will be the next on the list for me, just because he can be used in such a wide variety of ways.
Yeah.
Within the team. And I think he can be a mismatch, especially if you can get him in a way where he's on Nick Bolton. And I don't mean to bag on Nick Bolton or anything, but I mean, if you can find a way to get that match made up, it's going to be difficult in a lot of ways for Bolton to be able to keep up with a guy with the size and speed of Deebo Samuel. And I think that's going to be kind of a plan of attack for the 49ers in this game, is finding the mismatch on against the Chiefs defense. Cause you don't really want to mess with the Chiefs corners too much. If I'm the 49ers, I'm using Deebo Samuel on the inside a lot, inside the formation. I'm not putting him up against Legarius Sneed. I'm not putting him up against Trent McDuffie. Screw all that. It's not worth it to even try those guys. You're better off trying to find the mismatch either against that third safety, like a Chamari Connor or Nick Bolton in some kind of way, and using it that way. And I think they can be creative enough to make that work. So to me, that would be the most concerning weapon that the 49ers have in this game for me. So I'm hoping they're not listening to this and they just ignore everything I said. not that NFL coaches need my advice, but that's what I'd be doing personally. I did have a question, you guys, slightly off topic from the game itself, but we all heard the news. Eric Bieniemy came back to the Chiefs and was actually allowed to come back by the Commanders. Told Eric Bieniemy, you can go visit your old team. It's okay. Go ahead and visit the X. We'll sit back and watch in a corner of the room. What happened was Bieniemy came back before the AFC title game, and sounds like he had a talk with the offense and you know, met with some of the players and staff, of course, back in the building, and some of the players were talking about describing it as kind of, you know, they had chills for a minute whenever they saw him there in the building again. And I thought that was pretty awesome. I think it's a good move
by both
Bienemy and Commanders and Chiefs to let him back in. And obviously there's a lot of love there between the team and him. So I think that was pretty awesome. So do you guys think there's a spot somewhere on this staff again for Bienemy coming up next year?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I don't really care. I just like the fact that he showed up, because I think just the mere fact that he was there and they saw him can be a motivating factor, because he was the guy that we were talking about in the first half of the season. Where's the accountability on this freaking team? We don't have any freaking accountability because we drop passes. We have offensive penalties, and nobody gives a shit. And so
the enemy was normally the guy to shove a broom up your ass.
Yeah, exactly. So. And so I think it means something, the fact that he was there. As far as being on the staff next year, I mean, I don't really care. I only care about this game right here, right now. And the fact that he was there makes me feel good in terms of motivating the team.
Gotcha. Yeah. Now, I was just curious. I thought it was a cool thing that went down recently, and I'm curious if he's been sticking around longer since that happened.
I'd rather see him get some kind of other OC spot or something else that matter for someone else.
Yeah, it sounds like the Commanders thing's coming to an end already.
It is an end.
And so it's over with.
It's done.
Yeah.
It's done.
So that's unfortunate for him.
Makes zero sense to me, but we won't get into it right now.
They took that turd quarterback, and he was like top five in passing yards the whole season.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's amazing.
For God's sakes.
That's pretty amazing.
At some point, I just want him to get a head coaching job. Can I just throw that out there?
That was the whole point of him going. Take over for Rivera after Rivera got fired.
We are, and we've talked about it before on the show, like, we are getting better in terms of the NFL having more. Jesus.
I thought we weren't doing this shit anymore, dude.
I thought we weren't doing this shit anymore. Shut the freak
like,
up.
Like Todd Bowles said, we're the NFL. No. We're the coaches.
No,
everybody coaches.
This is a positive topic. I'm trying to tell you that
I'm aware where you're going.
We are getting more.
Because I know where you want to go with this.
Can you just freaking be
quiet?
I'm like
Todd Bowles right now. I'm like
he's
Todd
pissed.
Bowles.
We have.
I'm like, this is the dumbest question I've heard.
But you also know why he's pissed. We've talked about this too.
He can't even keep his damn mouth
He's
shut,
not into so that. Inclusivity and stuff.
I do like the fact that we have more
Jesus Lord, dude.
Minority coaches.
Go ask Todd Bowles that. Go ask Todd Bowles this question.
Yeah, I would.
And he'll shove a broomstick up your ass for
who's
asking
the coach?
Question.
Tanner, can you tell me who the head coach is of the Miami Dolphins? Is that not a minority coach? Okay. Are you not
He's
proud?
The bum who's about to sign Tua to a 6-year deal or some shit.
Dude. We're in Black History Month. Can you just
that
not
is true.
Give
it
some
is February.
Props to the fact that the NFL is doing better.
Do I need to play Todd Bowles?
We're doing better.
Comment about this.
Come on,
again.
Boys.
You
we're
need
doing
Todd
better.
Bowles.
You know it.
You oh, need
yeah.
Todd
we're
Bowles.
Doing better.
Oh, yeah.
I just
you
want
you need Todd Bowles' comment.
Could you keep I your agree. Mouth shut?
Because he's going to shove a broomstick.
Keep
up
your mouth
ass.
Shut. I just like the fact that we've got more minority coaches in the NFL. That's all I'm trying to say. And Eric Bieniemy should be the next one, boys.
I agree.
Could I, like, yeah. Did I say something wrong? Did I offend you?
He did get
Tanner?
Offended.
I
agree
with
what
you're saying.
I mean, I agree
my
with
gosh.
You Mike Tomlin are two of the few black head coaches in the league. God. I wonder what your relationship is like with them and your thoughts on Steve Wilkes joining that fold.
I have a very good relationship with Tomlin. We don't look at what color we are when we coach against each other. We just know each other. I have a lot of very good white friends that coach in this league as well, and I don't think it's a big deal as far as us being coaching against each other. I think it's normal. Wilkes got an opportunity to do a good job. Hopefully he does it. And we coach ball. We don't look at color.
Boom.
That is not.
Well, that's too bad you think that way, Tanner.
That was uncalled for. I did not ask you to play that for me.
Well, I needed you
I'm
to
just
hear that.
Trying
From
to make
a black
a point.
Head coach. In his actual views.
I'm just trying to tell you that we are making progress, and Eric
what
Bieniemy,
progress?
Eric Bieniemy should be the next.
What are you talking about? It's 2024, dude. What are we talking about?
All right, boys. He doesn't understand. Moving right along. Here we go.
All right, let's move on. All right, guys, let's get back to the game. So let's do well, we have our buffoon topic coming up here in a few minutes, too. You're going to like that one.
Damn,
huh? What?
Scott.
All right. guys. All right, let's get over to the Chiefs defense now, real quick, for a minute. We talked about McCaffrey, so I guess you alluded to McCaffrey. Do you guys have any other thoughts about the defense and kind of the idea of how to stop Brock Purdy from the efficient type of play he normally comes out with? I mean, he is, on a play-to-play basis, one of the more efficient passers in the league. We've seen, you know, he's got a better yards per attempt than Patrick Mahomes and a lot of other quarterbacks in this league. And that's kind of what I mean by that. So what do you think the Chiefs need to do to kind of knock that stuff off and make an impact? Because, you know, the Chiefs corralled Lamar Jackson the other day, took him out of his zone. What can we do to take Brock Purdy out of his zone?
I think if you're going to blitz the guy, you got to make it count, because Brock Purdy was actually pretty decent this year against the blitz. And so I think when you're a guy like Spags, you're going to dial something up. You got to make it count. Like, you want to make it like a blitz that's going to be effective. And so I'm not too concerned about the Chiefs defensively at all. I mean, I just feel like we're not going to get blown out here. It's not going to happen. We talked about that earlier. But I think that if you are going to blitz Brock Purdy, you better make it count. I think we do trust Steve Spagnuolo. If he is going to dial it up, then he's going to make it count. And I feel like this is a game where you're not going to see, like, earlier in the season where Brock Purdy was actually the front runner for the MVP. I don't know if you guys remember that. He was in the front runner. He was the betting favorite to be MVP of the league. And he completely shit the bed in that game. Was it against Baltimore where he threw, like, four interceptions?
Correct.
That's not going to happen in this game. But you might get him for 1 to 2 interceptions. And I feel like you can blitz him, but you got to use that shit sparingly. And just, you know, he's better than you think against the blitz. And that's what I'm going to say about that.
Last 2 weeks, he put his legs to work. He had a couple of nice little runs to keep a drive extended, keep himself in position for his offense here. So I think Spags has to have more of his schemes that he likes to draw the safety. So he has two safeties on top during, you know, as they're getting ready to go, he brings the safety down. But right before the snap goes, he brings the safety back up, and it confuses the hell out of the quarterbacks. He's done this all year long. I think you got to continue to roll with that in some kind of fashion. And maybe you hide it in some other way as well, because, I mean, Spags is going to be key. I'm a little worried. You know, Noah Manihou, right? Carl Loftus has to be there. Chris Jones has to be on top of his game. Tershawn, who am I missing on the line?
Well, Noddy's obviously
gone. Noddy's out.
Who else are you thinking of? Malik Herring?
No, I mean, no. The other starting defensive lineman.
Damn it, Tanner. We got Mike Dana and George Karloftis.
Dana.
As our DNs for this game.
I was thinking Dana. Dana has to input. Dave said it right. Well, he goes, take advantage of the weak right side. That's the key.
Dana is a veteran at this point, and really we saw him last year really step up and make an impact on the defense.
Almost a Tershawn game, too, on the side, too.
Really, and Dana's not been getting the play time he deserves in a lot of ways because of a Minihue being a part of the D-line after his suspension. And so he's been kind of pushed back a little bit. He had less snaps this season than he did the year before. Doesn't mean he's a bad player. And Dana's one of those guys, I think, for me, that is similar to George as far as, like, he's one of those guys, if the back end is doing their job, give him a little extra second, and they will get home.
Yes.
They're not going to be your speed rushers. They're not going to be Von Miller. They're not going to be the guy that gets there in 2 seconds. But if you could just hang on, they're going to keep fighting. They're not going to give up on a play.
Correct.
They're not going to be lazy. And that's great for both those DNs, is that at least they're going to give 110% till the whistle's blown. And that's, you know, we've seen a lot of DNs over the years who can get lazy, and that's not the case for these guys. Yep. So that's one thing
Dana's
about Dana.
Dana's going to have a good game, I think. So
yeah, and I've always thought Dana was pretty good at outside contain.
He was.
And so he's been good in that kind of role as far as playing the outside edge there in the run game.
Yep.
So I'm not worried at all. I mean, it sucks to not have Charles Minihue in this game, but at the same time, we played the majority of the Ravens game without him and did just fine.
Yeah.
So I'll put that out there anyway. I guess for me, my thought and idea is that when it comes to pressure against Brock Purdy, I think we're going to have a lot of stuff come from the outside. I don't see a lot of middle linebacker blitzing, stuff like that, I think we're going to have the most success. We've seen McDuffie make play after play, you know, edging rushing from the edge.
Are you drunk?
I might be. I don't know. Well, I got something on my mind anyway. I don't know. But he's, you know, coming from the edge. And then making a play on the ball, making a sack on the quarterback or a strip of some kind. You know, between him doing that, Shamari Connor can do that probably. L'Jarius Sneed, of course, can do that, where you see him work down the line and then come in and a blitz like that. I like the idea of using these corners in that kind of way throughout this game. And then from there, relying on your linebackers to be able to do the rest of their job there.
Yeah.
You know, cover in the middle, covering McCaffrey on those little check downs and stuff like that. So
Kittle outs. Yeah.
To me, that would be my thought process with this Chiefs defense on how to rattle Brock Purdy, is just kind of, you know, the confusion factor. And Spags, he's going to know what to do. I mean, Spags is going to have a great game plan. I've got full faith in him to come out with something awesome. And I think it's going to probably rock Brock Purdy's world. He's probably never seen something that he's about to see coming up this weekend. And as far as what I mean by that is just the confusion factor and just the creativeness.
Deja vu, dude. We just watched 2020's Super Bowl preview, and I swear to God, Mike just said that word for word going into Tampa Bay. The game.
The Tampa Bay game?
Yeah, you said, I swear to God, that was word for word that you
said. I don't know, because whatever I said about that probably didn't happen. So.
Well, how do you guys feel about Brock Purdy and the Niners being down big to the number 23 defense and then coming back to win it? I mean,
it was like, the number 23 defense.
If they were that bad, and I think the thought is that you're building your confidence because you came back in that game, and now all of a sudden you have to face the second best defense in the league. Like, do you really think that they have that much confidence coming in, or do you
feel like they do.
Because Detroit's defense is pretty bad, dude.
Detroit's bad.
It sucks.
Green Bay's is bad. And look what they did against those two teams.
So how can you come in with confidence, even though you had those comebacks?
Because they're pros. They're pros. You know, it's your professional football players. You're going to have confidence.
But he's such a young quarterback, dude.
But he has nothing. What does he have to lose? He was Mr. Irrelevant guy.
Nothing.
He shouldn't even be in this situation.
No, I'm a big Brock Purdy fan. I'm a huge Brock
There's
Purdy
no
fan.
There's no pressure on his hands.
Yeah, okay.
At all.
I see what you're saying. I'm just saying, like, this is a whole different animal, what he's about ready to face, and I just don't know if he's ready for it.
I mean, look what he's seen from the Niners, right? Jimmy Garoppolo takes him to the Super Bowl, loses it, and he gets replaced out for Trey Lance that next year for, six games? And then Jimmy G comes back? And then, you know, then the Brock Purdy thing comes in the next year. Like, I don't think he thinks that his job is even for him, because they were talking about Tom Brady coming to San Francisco and he was just going to be benched. Like, it's the way Shanahan does his quarterback system, you're not the guy, right? You're not the guy for long.
Do you guys think of this as being a revenge game, even though there's only 11 guys on the roster that were
for those guys,
on the team five years ago?
It's still a revenge game because you have that staff, the core of the staff and the management and the ownership, obviously. They all sat there throughout this whole week during media day and media week being asked questions about the previous Super Bowl. You know, Nick Bosa was talking about, will their linemen hold a lot? You know, the owner, you know, their GM talked about, you know, how he remembers the holding call that wasn't thrown a flag on in that first game. And, you know, I know for a fact Kyle Shanahan's thought about it. I mean, to where in his mind, this is a revenge game. And
I just think when you only got 11 guys,
it's going to matter.
You got 11 guys on the roster that even were on the team. Like, does anybody else, nobody else even has a clue about what's going to happen right now?
No, but they're going to feel that energy at least.
They're aware of what went down and how it was felt, right? Like, you don't just have 11 guys.
I will say it's something that's been brought up within that team and within the organization over the course of the last 2 weeks.
Yes.
So it's something that's been talked about. And so whether you were there for it or not, they've been making it apparent. I can guarantee that. All right, guys, I got a little game I want us to play before we...
You want to do comments first?
Let's do a comments. What do we got over there?
Why not, boys? Let's have some.
Let's have some comments, boys. Let's ask some.
We have a lot of comments.
Yeah, we do.
You missed some things?
I was just waiting on you guys to stop talking. All right. So Starsky said he is here for Royals talk tonight. When does that start? Hey, tune in towards the end of the show, and we'll get you a little tiny taste of Royals talk. Yeah. Scott says we need the Bobby Witt. Again, tune into the end of the show. We'll get you a little bit there.
Yeah, we got 5 minutes.
Starsky says they let him visit the Chiefs in Canada's ass. LOL. They did.
Yeah, they did.
They exactly did.
Come
that.
Come on, boys. Where's my Bill? Where's my Bills fans out here?
Dave says he was a ball boy for the Broncos.
Talk about McDaniels. Mike McDaniel.
Mike McDaniels was McDaniels. A ball boy. So Scott Cope says, shut his damn mic off. Dave says, take advantage of the weak right side of the O-line.
Shut my mic Dana, off? You turned it off?
Yeah.
Because of what you were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Did I offend you, can't boys? Have that.
Dave says, yeah, that's why they were 23D. And Scott Cove says, the 49ers start slow in both games. You can't start in his game because Chiefs' second half defense is on another level right now. You want to let her out? Hey, thanks.
This is a great live buffoon show right now. We got a buffoon letting out a miniature schnauzer. So
this is what happens, man.
This is how it goes. Well, have fun out there, doggy. All right, guys.
Every once in a while, you got to let the dog out to take a shit. It happens.
He needed to go out there. I'd never seen that dog act like that before.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, let's go open that damn door, guy.
That dog loves me, man.
All right, so we're going to play a little game. Tanner's wild outside. Maybe we're not going to play a game. I don't know. How long does that dog take out there, Tanner?
Just play the game. Who gives a shit?
All right, guys. So, Tanner, if you can hear me, it is a game of over-under. And so, basically, I'm going to ask you guys a player for each category right now listed on DraftKings, and they're over-under, and you guys got to predict the over-under of the game.
Ooh.
So, we're just going to kick it off strong, guys. So, passing yards for this game. We have Patrick Mahomes at 261.5. You guys taking the over or the under?
261.5?
That's the passing yards for Patrick Mahomes.
I'll take the over.
You got the over, huh?
I'm going to go over with that. Yeah, I'll take
two overs on that. Makes sense. I think I like the over on that, but I like the line. It's probably a line I wouldn't touch. I don't think I'd bet on that one way or the other. We've seen this season in particular – we're winning games with Mahomes passing for 225. I mean, it's not a thing. We're lighting it up for 350.
Somebody just told me that I should turn my mic off and go home. Who was that? Was that you, Scott? Because I do want to go home and go to bed. I'm actually really tired. You want me to go home and saw some Z's?
Somebody is pissed off about what you were talking about,
man. What the hell?
All right, guys. Moving along to receiving props for this game. I kind of like this one just because it's funny. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, over under 5.5 receiving yards. what's that going to look like?
It's basically brutal, man.
Does he get one screen pass that he can take 15 yards? You know, that's something like that would be nice.
I'm going to go under. I'm going under.
Under? So,
first of all, yeah. I'm not going to bet on that ever, but I'll just take the over just for the hell of it because he might get lucky.
All right. Well, we'll stick with this real quick because that was kind of a funny one. Rashee Rice, 66.5 receiving yards. Over or under?
61.5?
66.5 for Rashee Rice.
I got to go over that
I'm gonna
shit.
Stay on the,
over?
I'm gonna
I
got to
go
under
over
under
that shit.
One.
Under, okay. Yeah.
I'll take over on Rashee.
I'm gonna take the over myself because I think he's going to get a lot of targets in this game. And
he'll get a lot of targets.
Well, dude, I see 10, 11 targets.
He is the brand new shiny toy on this offense that like nobody even knows about, really.
Yeah, I see him going for at least 7 catches for somewhere in the 70s or 80s for yardage goes. Somewhere around there. All right, guys, moving to rushing yards, rushing props. Patrick Mahomes, over under 26.5 rushing yards.
Oh, definitely over. I'll take the over on him all day. Because I do believe I do believe in the 49ers to take away certain things, but Mahomes always finds the appropriate time to run the ball to get the first down, and I'll go over on that all day long.
Mahomes' favorite time to run is in the playoffs, in the Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
You know, when it
absolutely.
Comes down to these kind of games, he loves to keep the ball and make it happen.
He did it last year with only 1 foot. He only had 1 foot.
Right.
You don't think he's going to do that fully healthy this year? I mean, I'll take the over. Right?
We had a full year of Patrick Mahomes with no ankle injury, you know, because that seems to be like a problem in the past is ankle injuries and stuff like that. So I think Scott's mentioning Kyle Juszczyk's receiving.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that later, boys. Scott, I got a surprise for you, dude. It's coming up.
Okay.
For Kyle Juszczyk.
Let me move along here real quick to we got some defensive props.
Ooh.
All right, guys. So, Chris Jones, over under, a quarter of a sack.
A quarter of a sack? I'll go the over on that.
Yeah, I like the over.
I'm going over. I think like over. No.
I like Chris to get half a sack at least. That's I mean, you can combine with somebody. You get half a sack, you win the bet.
Like you're the second biggest star. Well, we'll say third biggest star on the whole freaking team. You're going to get a sack.
Yeah.
Right.
You're in the damn Super Bowl.
He's going to get half at least, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so for this one, let's talk Harrison Butker. Over under 1.5 field goals made.
Over.
Yeah, I got over on that for 100%.
Definitely over.
Totally a field goal game.
Definitely over because I like both defenses. So, yeah, you're going to have some stalls in there, so give me the over on the 1.5.
So what was Scott's Kyle Juszczyk again? What was he talking about here?
He was saying it is the better to go over on, is all he says.
Over on what part? The receiving?
Over on his 4.5 attempts. Oh, that's Mahomes, sorry. Scott, you'll have to justify.
Because right now there is a Kyle Juszczyk one reception.
Clarify,
bet.
Jesus.
Yeah, let's just hold that thought because we're going to do prop bets. You're going to do prop bet segment a little bit later, that's my guy. So
he has
I'm gonna
Rice.
Don't worry, Scott. We're gonna
Dave has Chris Jones getting first Super Bowl sack.
Scott, at some point in this show, we're gonna stop talking about all of the white coaches in the league and start talking about
this is unreal, dude.
Kyle Juszczyk prop bets.
Do I need to play the Todd Bowles comment again?
No, that was your mistake, by the way.
That was my mistake.
Yeah, you ruined the whole thing, dude. That I wasn't even going down that road.
You were going down that damn road.
There, I have no problem with Todd Bowles, but you know, you didn't need to play that, dude.
I'm gonna play it.
All right. Well, that was all my questions for the over under.
Yeah, that's not bad.
I want to go down the categories with you guys and see what you think on the whole thing. I guess I'll throw one more in here. Christian McCaffrey receiving 34.5.
I might actually take the under on that. I think I would go under.
Because
they're
going to
key on
well.
Him. That's the guy. They're going to key on him the whole freaking game.
I'll go under as well.
Two unders on that? Okay. Yeah. Interesting. I don't know that I would really.
That's pretty
touch
high.
That bet.
That's pretty.
No, yes, yeah, not one you're going to touch for sure.
But no, I like the line at least. If you get him in a certain matchup on a certain linebacker or something, then it could work out for him.
It could. So, yeah,
we'll see how that goes. All right.
Oh,
guys.
Yards and catches. Is what he's looking at.
Yeah, the Juszczyk one is on there. Is you could get him for one catch basically, is kind of his current line. Let's go ahead and jump over to prop bets though. Like we, like Jason just alluded to a minute ago. Do you guys have any that stand out to you right now? I was looking down the list and I saw some funny ones, but anything in particular that you think is a good prop bet for someone to be making out there?
Yeah, so I'll go with my favorite. Scott was asking about this, so you're always going to have a Kyle Juszczyk play, especially if you're in the Super Bowl. Because you're hoping that the defense is not expecting it. So I'm going to go with the over-under here. Kyle Juszczyk is at 4.5 yards receiving. I am going to take the over on that because I do believe he will have maybe not a big catch, but he's going to have a decent-sized catch in this game because I think that the Chiefs defense is just not going to be expecting it. So yeah. I'll take the over 4.5 yards receiving for Kyle Juszczyk.
Yeah, that's a good one. So I would pair that with the reception. So obviously if you're going to get receiving yards, you're going to have a catch. But one of the options for the bets is Juszczyk to get over half a reception. And so you got to take the over on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely. So
definitely. I didn't even see that. I can't even believe it that that's in there.
Yeah, half a reception. So basically, nail the over on that.
So if you guys have what are we gonna do? $1,000 on that or $500, something like that? I'll put my money down on that.
Well,
shit.
I don't know that the actual money is like close to even or not, but it's like -150.
Oh.
So you would not make back the amount you bet, but. You could make back still a good decent amount.
We should all bet 500 on that shit.
We'd win 250 then, if that was the case.
He's going to have a reception in the game. That's
I know.
Like,
he will.
That's just a weird. I think they should have put it at 1.5.
Yeah, they left
that's
it at
what
half.
I would have put it at
half a catch.
Weird, man.
Half a catch. So, All right. Tanner, do you have a prop bet that stood out to you this week?
Actually, kind of a fun one there. DraftKings has a Craft Sports Specials, the golf and NFL. I think probably my favorite one of it all. There's actually a couple I would probably do. But we're going to go what will be more, Jordan Spieth's round four total birdies or the versus the total made field goals in the Super Bowl. And I'm going to take the total made field goals for plus 155 in that one.
Okay.
I think Spieth has to make it to the fourth round or else other it's voided. So,
okay.
I think we're looking at least four or five field goals. So that's a good over and under, I think.
I'll go with Spieth.
You think over five?
I haven't been following golf in the last several years.
Five birdies?
I'm going to go with Spieth. In 18 holes? Yeah, absolutely.
Interesting. Spieth
is a great golfer, dude.
I think it's a fun one.
It can happen.
I got one for you guys that I think is a great value. On FanDuel, you can get this for plus 200. The last play of the game to be a QB kneel. So a kneel down to end the game, you get it for plus 200, which, you know, if it means if you were to bet 100, you win back 200. So it's great value, in my opinion, that this game ends on a kneel, one way or the other. So I totally see it falling that way. I just thought that one stood out because of the value of the actual line there. So for me, take the yes over at FanDuel. I don't know what it is on DraftKings or any of those guys, but
I don't see it.
FanDuel apparently has this right now, so I would jump on it before they probably take it down or move the line. So that would be my thoughts on that one.
Oh, there it is, last play. Last play of the game to be QB kneels minus 210.
Minus 210?
Yep.
Shit, did they move it?
Well, that's DraftKings.
Oh, well, why was FanDuel at plus 200?
Dude, these two books, you don't want to ever.
Yeah, I don't understand because. Yeah, it should have been.
I probably wouldn't bet on that. I mean, those are pretty even odds there. I mean, you could have.
That's what I mean. If you get a plus 200, you mean you got the advantage, I think.
You have a missed field goal or a made field goal. I mean, I don't really like it that much. I'd probably stay away from that one.
All right. I have one more for you guys. So this one's kind of fun. I see something going on. It's a Super Bowl. We see this happen from time to time in big games like this. So total number of players to throw a pass. Over 2.5, you could get for plus 160 on FanDuel. I like the idea of more than Mahomes and Purdy to throw a pass. I think someone else from one of the two teams,
C-Mac, Travis Kelce,
throws a pass in this game.
Maybe it
could be a fake punt. It could, like I said earlier to you, it could be Tommy Townsend.
Tommy Townsend, yeah.
It could be, you know, you never know. We could come up, but or it could be an injury. You know, let's say Purdy has to miss a couple snaps, and then you know you got to throw a pass. You know, something like that. So I like the idea of the over 2.5 players to throw a pass at a plus 160 on FanDuel as well. So it's a Super Bowl, guys. We've seen it before. We've seen crazy stuff happen. So that's where I expect to have things that are like that occur. So those are my two. That's all I got as far as that goes. Do you guys have any others?
The one thing that I would stay away from is random players to win Super Bowl MVP. If you're not betting on Mahomes or Brock Purdy, don't make that bet. This is not the game where that's going to happen. I know it's happened before. You know, you think back to, you know, Deion Branch winning a Super Bowl MVP back when Tom Brady was in his heyday. That I do not believe that shit's going to happen in this game. So if you're going to bet on Super Bowl MVP, just bet on the quarterback. Don't fuck with the rest of the shit. I know you're going to see some amazing odds out there, but don't get sucked in too much, okay?
Yeah, I would only almost say I could see it not going with Brock Purdy if you were to pick a 49er.
McCaffrey.
Because if you go McCaffrey, I mean, it's one of those things where if it's a yak game where he's the one making all the plays after the throw, he's going to earn the MVP status because Purdy can be the guy that's game managing while McCaffrey puts up all the numbers.
But they're not going to win, though, if they go down that road. They're just not going to win the game.
That's probably true.
So I'm sticking with the quarterbacks. If you're going to bet on the MVP,
we'll stick with Mahomes then. I'll stick with Mahomes.
You can.
That's what I'm going to probably do if I'm listening to your advice. I'm going to stick with Mahomes.
Okay, that's fine. We haven't made our picks for the game yet, so we'll see what happens.
Tanner, do you have any other prop bets?
I don't know if you guys saw DraftKings has for the Swifties.
Yeah, I saw.
Literally a section full of stuff talking about her songs, 22, Anti-Hero, Blank Space. all that stuff that you could check out there. Where is, did you see anything for the halftime show?
I have not seen anything yet for the halftime or the national anthem.
You did?
Or the Gatorade color.
You can bet on Usher's first song. I don't know what, I don't know which, you know, app it's on, but they had it out there. You're going to be able to bet on which song Usher leads out with.
I will say the favored Gatorade color right now is purple. So that's based off of the branding of the Super Bowl logo.
The Ravens. They thought the Ravens.
Well, they thought the Ravens because it was it was rigged for the Ravens 49ers.
It did.
And the Chiefs accidentally went against the rig, apparently, and they fell into the Super Bowl.
So. I don't see it on DraftKings. I'm checking FanDuel.
I feel like that's one of those things you're going to have to wait until the day of or maybe the
No,
day
it
before.
Was like we've had it before.
Yeah, we had it for Snoop Dogg when the Rams won it. We had Snoop Dogg. You could bet on Snoop Dogg's lead out song.
Really? It's just
It was the color of his shoes, I think.
Oh yeah,
color of his shoes.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't see it. But what do you guys think? What do you guys think Usher breaks out with right away?
I'm just your regular white boy, so I'm gonna go with yeah. I don't know any better. So,
what was the song? What was the song that was on The Hangover?
Usher's song.
Usher, was it Ludacris and Usher on that one?
Oh, you're talking Lovers and Friends.
No. The Hangover song with Usher.
Ludacris. Yeah,
That would be my bet. If you're going to bet on it, that's
his most famous song, right?
That's the most famous song.
Yeah. I mean,
if I would assume that's what they're going to go with.
ATL, I'd go with it here, but
I think what they need to do, I told Tanner this earlier, we need to see a prop bet of number of seconds Taylor Swift is shown on the screen because they're going to put it at some crazy number and everyone's going to hit the over. And I'll be taking the under on that.
Because
everyone over-exaggerates her screen time.
I've heard that if they do put it out, it's going to be somewhere in the range of 8.5 to 9.5. However, if the Chiefs actually win the game, then you're going to hit the over no matter what because they're probably going to show her like 12 or 13 times if they win the game.
My guess would be, oh, my God. OMG.
I don't mind that song. I could see
him open up with that.
Because you don't necessarily want to lead out with your best. So, yeah, I could certainly see
that. I could
that
see
as
that,
song.
And I could see, I could literally see him popping up with Burn right away. So, one of those kind of two things.
Yeah.
I was a big Usher guy, you know,
back in the day.
Dude, who wasn't?
When hip-hop was cool, dude, Tanner.
We were all big Usher guys back in 2010, we were all big Usher guys. I'm still a big Usher guy.
Do you go out there with your shirt and you take it off and you kick the puddles in the rain while it's raining just like in Burn?
No, I didn't do that. I mean,
I think my middle brother did that one time.
Yeah, I'm a little bit too old to be doing that shit, but I'm just telling you, I've always been a big Usher fan.
All right, before we get to game picks, let's recap real quick. Scott's got a few comments, I think, again.
All right, let's take a look here. Oh, man.
Is he the one that keeps trying to kick me off the show or wants me to retire?
He thinks you need to be muted every once in a while.
Don't forget.
No, okay.
Don't forget Neil Downs.
I don't think it's him, dude.
Neil Downs counts as attempts, by the way. He said so.
Neil Downs counts as what?
Attempts.
Oh.
Rushing attempts.
Like rushing attempts. Right. Yeah.
Scott and I need to get back on our NBA show. That's what's
going on. He said DraftKings has a prop bet. Mahomes 15 yards rushing and 215 passing yards for -140. Yeah. He saw someplace calling Clark points versus Mahomes completions. So Caitlin Clark, Iowa star. Versus Mahomes completions at +160 in Mahomes.
What about Frank Clark? Is he playing in this game?
No, nobody cares about that guy.
Nobody cares? All right.
If 49ers win, I don't believe Purdy will be MVP. And he says Reba National Anthem under 125 at a sports book in Vegas. Her average National Anthem time is like 112. Reba in the National Anthem.
I can work with that.
You could get under
125.
Okay.
Yeah. I can get down with that.
I like that.
I'm not going to get down with Reba. She's a little bit older than me, but I can get down with the actual bet, though.
I think Super Bowl.
You guys want to get down with Reba? Is she your age? Do you like women that are that age?
I've never really cared for Reba one way or the other. It's not really my thing.
You don't like
I used to watch the TV show.
Is she 70 years old yet? Do you like 70-year-olds, Mike?
Man.
Come on.
Man.
Just be honest.
I'm just glad. I want to say one thing to you guys. Today is also, it's National Women in Sports Day. Oh, and so I wanted to bring that up to you guys. So
she's 68.
I think
we
need to be more respectful when we're talking about these ladies.
I agree with you. I have no problem.
Well, don't talk to Nick Botkins. So, because I was talking shit on Caitlin Clark on Monday. So
today,
I'm glad I'm not invested in Caitlin Clark or whatever she's doing.
What do you have to say about it, dude? So today is National Women in Sports Day. Do you have something to say about that, or you just randomly?
No, I brought it up because I think when we're talking about women today, you know, even if it's Reba McEntire, who, you know, is a musician, I think we need to be respectful about that. So.
Yeah.
Just wanted to make sure you guys were aware of what this day was all about. And so Caitlin Clark, you know, for instance, is a great example. We should take that into account.
So how do you guys feel about men that have actually transitioned to a woman in sports? How do you feel about them? Do you think they should be treated the same way as anybody else, or how do you feel about that?
I think we should.
Oh, no answer?
I can't even play.
All right.
I can't even play
along. I'll tell you what, boys. We're going to save that for next week, boys, because
I was going to try to play along, but I can't. I'm sorry.
About to go on a rant that I probably shouldn't go on, so we'll save that for next week.
Yeah, it's probably safer for everybody.
We'll save that one for the offseason when there's no one watching.
Do you guys know that there's people are trying to get a roids league going?
That'd be awesome.
Roids league? I tell you what, man, like I've always like, I'll tell you how much of a basketball fanatic I am. I've been to a WNBA game before in my life, and I love it. I absolutely love watching the WNBA. And, you know, a part of it is like, you know, the tickets are cheaper, but I just love the sport so much that like when I watch women play basketball, especially in the WNBA, like it just, I feel satisfied. Like I'm not bullshitting with you guys. I've seen these women play, and they're good. Like you got your sharpshooters. They don't dunk as much, but I don't care because they're so good at what they do. They don't make as much money, but I get value out of watching the WNBA players. Like, and I love the Las Vegas Aces.
Yep.
Yeah. Hell yeah, bro. I'll watch that shit all day long.
They have,
man,
the all-time NCAA score on that team right now. So what's your thoughts, Jason, with the three-point contest deal with Steph Curry and whatever the WNBA player is, that they're going head-to-head, and she's moving back to the men's three-point line to play against Steph Curry to shoot do the three-point shoot-around against him?
Is that actually going to happen?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Dude, if she beats his
it's
ass.
It's going to be a mess.
Dude, if she beats his ass and you're both shooting, if you're both shooting from the men's the men's line, the men's 3-point line,
she
beats his ass,
yeah.
Can you imagine the fallout from that? I would love that shit. I would fucking love it.
She's like the record holder of WNBA history or something in that range. So she's shooting against Steph Curry. She was supposed to, the original rules that she was going to do her line, Steph would do his line, and she's like, no, I'm shooting back from where Steph is.
Oh, I would love it.
And
dude,
so they're going at it in the 3-point contest.
I think if she could beat his ass at that, I mean, like that would be historic.
I'm not a fan of it. I think it's pointless.
So wait, you think she should be shooting from the women's line?
We shouldn't be doing this at all.
Shouldn't be doing it at all.
No.
It's
the NBA All-Star break.
I totally disagree with you. I just want to see what happens.
NBA All-Star gate.
I don't care. I want to see what happens because if she beats his ass, like, that would be one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in my life, dude.
But she won't.
Well, you don't know that.
Oh, I know that.
What if the gambling side gets involved and Steph decides to lose the match on purpose? Would you still give credit to the woman, Mike, or would you just be like, oh, it's fucking rigged?
It was funny. I don't enjoy any part of, other than back when WWF used to do this, men and women in sports are the same sport in the same competition. Mm. I think it's not really a fair zone in general.
It's not out yet, so.
I want to see what happens.
But there was one time in WWE where I saw a very petite woman defeat the Big Show in a wrestling match.
Yep.
And I thought that was as real as it ever will get.
The Big Show, is that who fought against Floyd Mayweather?
Yes.
Which was actually my favorite.
That Floyd let him punch him and break his nose
legit.
Since
I'm not a huge wrestling fan, obviously, I'm a huge Floyd Mayweather fan. That was like my favorite historical wrestling match of all time was when Floyd Mayweather beat the Big Show. That was pretty cool, man. That actually, that partially introduced me to professional wrestling. Like, that made me want to watch it more.
I know. It's not as cool as it used to be, though, I don't think. So, oh, well. Guys, we got to do game picks. Do game picks, then we're going to have easy money. Is that, what's Scott say about, what was the girl?
Oh, Loanescu is the girl. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
So, let's see, what else did you say? Clock points, blah, 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 blah. Time of first possession over or under 3 minutes and 15 seconds at minus 110.
I would take the under on that. I like the under on that one.
I take the over.
Just depends. The Chiefs come out strong like they did the other week against the Ravens and kick a three and out. I mean, I don't know.
I guess I'm making the Chiefs get the ball first. So
I'm gonna take the under on that regardless.
You're doing easy money first, or you're doing the game pick first?
We're doing game pick.
Game pick first.
Okay. Yep.
All right, well, Tanner, I'm going to let you do the honors and kick us off for the Super Bowl official predictions and score.
Chiefs, Niners, AFC, NFC, and ladies and gentlemen, it is the same script that you've seen all season long. 41 and 33, AFC has been winning this series. We saw Pittsburgh defeat Seattle late with Mason fucking Rudolph. Like this,
watch your language. My bad, if you
my
could,
bad, Jason.
Please.
That is why this is viewer discretion is advised.
Hey, that's why it's viewer discretion advised. Look, this whole deal here, this is just funny. This is just funny to me. Chiefs win 32-14.
Tanner loves his high numbers.
Disrespecting
throughout the playoffs.
I have no faith in the Niners. I have no faith in any NFC team that comes up against an AFC team this year. So,
I can't go blowout because I feel like Andy Reid won't let a blowout happen, even if we wanted to.
That's actually kind of
so. I'm gonna say there's no blowout like what Tanner just said, but I do think it's gonna be a very tight game. I think it's gonna be close. I think no matter what, Chiefs pull this thing off. But I like 23-20 in this game. So the under on your over under out there, you guys listening.
That's really tight, man.
So
23-20.
It's the Super Bowl, Tanner. What do you mean to say?
It's a 49ers team that hasn't beat a winning AFC team all year long.
We'll play down to our competition, whatever. So that's how I feel about it. I think the 49ers are going to come out fired up. Obviously, the Chiefs are going to have a better game plan, and that's how the Chiefs are going to win because we're going to come out more prepared schematically than the 49ers will, and that's why we're going to be better. So, but anyways, it's going to come down to I believe this is this whole season has been all about unders, and it's been all about defense for the Chiefs. And so to me, I'm going to go stick to that script of sticking to a lower scoring game. Defense prevails, makes a big play that matters. Butker has a leg that kicks us 3 field goals, and we get the win. So that's what I'm going to go with.
There's too much confusion out there, boys. Like, you've heard all of the stats historically on how, you know, whatever you want to throw out there. I mean, you can put all the stats out there that you want. It doesn't matter, boys. I'm going to simplify it for you right now. Don't get too confused on this game. If you want to simplify it, I'm going to do it right here, right now. Okay? 49ers beat the Lions, who beat the Chiefs in week one. It's that simple. Okay? That's point number one. Point number two, we've been talking about how shitty the Chiefs' wide receiver core has been all year. And all of a sudden, they kind of turned it around a little bit in there. You know, and Rashee Rice, I mean, to give the guy credit, like, he's playing amazing right now. But I do believe that the Chiefs are going to revert back to their old ways. I think the wide receivers are going to be shitty in this game. I do believe that there's too much disrespect on Mr. Irrelevant, Brock Purdy. I think he's going to use that as motivation here. And I do believe that also the 49ers defense has been disrespected a lot. They were number 3 in the NFL this year. So they're actually not too shabby. Everybody in the world is betting on the Chiefs. I have no idea why the 49ers are the favorite because – feels like everybody's going to one side here. And anytime you see, you know, everybody, you know, whoever you listen to in the interviews, they're all picking the Chiefs. When you run into that situation, boys, that is the time where you want to bet the opposite, okay? Vegas, Las Vegas, very rarely takes a bath in these freaking games, okay? So I am going to take the 49ers here. It's not going to be a blowout, but I'm going to go 31-21, 49ers, Super Bowl champs.
It's a rough call, man. It's a rough call. Jason said his piece. He made his official prediction right here live on the show, and he went against the grain, as far as our grain, I would say. So, well, we'll see how it unfolds, man. I'm glad he has faith in his, you know, because I think the last time the Chiefs 49ers faced off, I believe you thought at the time, too, it'd also be a 49ers victory. And so we'll see how those things play out.
We don't know. We couldn't pull the feed off of that.
Well, we never did a podcast yet. So
yeah, we weren't
we weren't born yet.
You and know? I find that hard to believe. I can't believe that we were not podcasting during that game.
No, because we hadn't started this yet. I mean,
that's crazy.
We
didn't COVID hadn't hit yet.
We started this.
That's weird, man.
We started
that
this
we didn't
way
start
after
this shit five
COVID.
Years ago. That's weird to me.
Well, it was fall of 2020 is when we began the show. Yeah. Or summer.
Summer.
One of the two.
Summer.
Summer of 2020.
Bottom line is I believe in Mr.
We were at the time we were super spreaders. You know, all three of us within a foot of each other.
Not me.
And so every week.
I did not spread. I'm pretty sure I had a mask on.
You never wore a mask the entire time.
Bullshit.
I remember that. You never wore a mask on the show.
He was vaccinated, and I wore a mask until the point where I could get vaccinated.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right.
You took it off.
On to easy money bets of the week. Final edition. Super Bowl edition.
That's right.
This is it, guys.
Easy money bet of the week. So, guys, what we're doing for this one is this is our last official easy money pick for this season. For the season, and we're going to have our full record shown after this weekend's over with, and then we're going to reset back to zero and begin our easy money bets that are going to be based around the NBA, college basketball, probably some MLB, or maybe even NHL, you know, so we're going to mix in some other things for a while, so it'll be a few months worth of accumulating data based on our picks and putting some research into all the other sports. And obviously, we've been very focused in on NFL with these picks over the past 5 months, 6 months. And so we're going to veer off that and spread it out a little more for easy money picks after this point. But for now, we're going to see how we all fall after this weekend with our totals.
Tanner, I want you to tell me my percentage before I make my official bets here.
You need
Am
to
I
know
still
again?
At 50?
Again.
Yeah, because I've
52.
Oh, so that makes a difference, actually. Because I was getting ready to make two bets, but now that you say I'm at 52, I'm going to get a little conservative here. So I was all over the Kyle Juszczyk 4.5 receptions, but when you guys told me that it was 0.5 receptions, I was like, okay, just give me that. So my easy money bet is Kyle Juszczyk for sure over 0.5 receptions. You guys can take it to the bank. Shoot, dude, I might throw a couple hundo on that shit. It's too easy.
I like that one too, man.
It's too freaking easy,
it's
man.
It's good. It is a good one for sure. We could. I know we're not into parlays on this show, but I'll probably throw that shit in a parlay and
over 4.5. See what right?
Well, no, he said reception.
No,
reception.
I did reception. He said I'm doing the receptions
over half a reception. Okay. So not that a half a reception is possible.
My bad.
you know, but anyways, that is his official. Is that the only one you got? Is that one? Is that
That's
it?
The only one.
You're not doing the yards with it? I mean, you could.
No, I mean, I could, but when you're sitting at 52%, that's not a bad, that's really good. Like if you're at 52% by the end of the season, like I am, like you're a professional gambler at that point. So I'm going to get conservative here. Just do the one bet.
All right. I guess I'll go real quick, Tanner. I have been nailing the Chiefs-related picks this playoffs, so it's been really good. It's got me back way above 50% now again. I have three of them for you guys on this game. First one is an Isaiah Pacheco touchdown, which you get for even money right now, on your local sports betting website. So even money, you put down 100, you win 100. So a Pacheco touchdown. Next one after that is, I talked about it a little bit ago, but this is the year of the under. And so I'm taking the under once more, one final time for the season, of under 47.5. So if you can grab that, grab that. If you get it at 48, take 48. That way, at least if it comes down to anything and it's a push, then you get your money back. But I like that one. And I got one more. George Kittle over 3.5 receptions in this game. I think Kittle is going to be featured within the offense for the 49ers, or at least force-fed in a lot of ways. He was, as Travis Kelce said, the number one tight end in the league this year. And so the 49ers are going to try to prove a point with that and feed him the ball. I see at least 5 catches for George Kittle, so I love the over 3.5, which you can get for close to even money.
Yeah, I'll take that, dude.
You took 2 of mine, so.
Did I?
Yeah, I had the under as well.
Damn.
47.5. And I also had over 3.5 receptions.
Let's get this goddamn show last week of the year above 50%.
I got Noah Gray over 1.5 receptions, minus 120. And I love the reception stuff here. And I have actually, this is one you won't like at all, because I love bringing that to your attention. Justin Watson.
Oh, God.
We're doing it again, guys. Oh, under 1.5 receptions.
He's doing the under again on Watson.
So that's where we're at.
You know, Watson caught 2 balls the other day. There's a penalty that fucked it up.
So. Exactly. It was under.
That's
under.
That's the thing to watch for. Who's going to make the big play? Is it going to be MVS or Justin Watson?
Under.
Because somebody's going to, you know, you can't have Pacheco and Kelce and Rashee Rice carrying the entire load the whole game. One of those two guys is going to make a catch. Yep. So who's it going to be?
Yep. All right. Well, so those are easy money picks. So, Tanner, if we are successful this week with these selections, I think it'll put us for the whole year above 50%, which means we would hit our goal. You know, the goal was to be above 50% as a group. And I think that would put us finally there. So
I wouldn't put me above 50.
Where are we at right now? What are we at right now?
It would put us at 53 for the year.
53? Okay.
It would put us at 53.
So. All right, guys. Well, that is our official picks for the last thing of the gosh darn year for you guys. Do you guys want to real quick hit on Bobby Witt for a minute?
Hey.
Absolutely.
Hey.
I mean, are we not excited for having Bobby Witt now here for the rest of the tenure of Patrick Mahomes, basically?
Can we just...
That's the idea?
Can we just state what it really is, guys?
Well, we know what it really
is. The signings, the spending money, the Bobby Witt signing. We all know what this is.
It's all about getting that stadium approval.
Got to get that stadium.
Well, it's the biggest contract in Royals history.
Got to get that stadium.
Also, you're giving it to a guy that actually wants to be here.
Got to get that stadium.
Bobby Witt does want to be here.
Trying to please the fans.
Right now, it's about ownership trying to give the fans what they want, which, at the end of the day, if you give us a winning team, if you're out there, we get a team that goes out there and plays 500 baseball, I'll tell you what, that's all these fans in this town care about is 500 baseball. There's enough fans out there that all they give a damn about is taking their 3-year-old to the game and jacking around and drinking some boulevards at the boulevard stand. That's all they care about. They're not really there to watch the game much. But if you can give us 500 baseball, that stadium's going to be pretty full. I mean, they're going to be close to selling out some games, because that's what it's all about. The Royals are more about family time, going out with everybody, and half the time you're walking around the concourse because you don't really care that much, but you're having a good time.
Yes.
If you could win some games, then that's what at this point what the Royals fans have gotten used to, is just using it as a reason to go out. But if you give us a winner, that stadium that you guys want to tear down will be packed again.
The last time I checked, they also have starting pitching.
Yes, they got a few guys.
Might not be as
they
bad
got a
as
reliever,
you think.
The starting pitching guy from the Giants. I can't remember the names right now. They got Adam Frazier a few days ago. They got Hunter Renfrow they signed too for a nice 1-year deal. Look, and these are all very cheap deals outside of Bobby Witt. And you just got to remember what it is. They're just trying to please the fans for right now so they can get their tax or their votes in and get their stadium they want paid for. So,
yeah, I get it. But at the same time, we can't hold that against them if they're giving us what we want. So
1-year deals aren't what we want.
We can say to them, hey, you're only doing this because you want this. But at the same time, if they give us a winner, that's all we've been asking for.
You got to realize we had a great farm system going into 13, 14, 15. Oh, yeah. We're ranked like 31st.
Well, yeah, there's a bunch of turds right
in
now.
In the farm system. It's not good. Yeah, it's, this is not where we want to be.
The future is still going to be looking rough for the moment.
Hey, look, we're playing for third place, and I guess I'll take it. So it's better than last place.
Well, like I said, your brother says we're going to be 500.
Look, I'm happy on the Bobby Witt thing, though. I think it's a great thing for the Royals, great thing for the city, great thing for the fans. You know, he has an opt-out option starting in 2035. So it's ways away. Ways away. He'll be here for a while. You know, this might be – I said it last year, and it might be this year. Sal Perez, you know, might be on the move here before we know it. So which would be a very unfortunate. But, I mean, to have just go from, you know, Salvador Perez to Bobby Witt, it's still a nice little piece.
Yep, I get it. I'm all cool with it. All right, guys. You guys got any final words before we get out of here?
Yeah, what the – what are we doing? What are the freaking Jayhawks doing, dude? We lost to K-State on Monday night.
Yeah, the problem is you I bet told you, guys, you bet against your
I
own
didn't
damn
bet.
Team.
I never put a money down.
And I hope
I
Troy,
just told
I
you guys.
I hope Troy is listening to the
I
show
told
right
you
now
what to bet
because you're a fake KU
Kansas,
fan when you're sitting there betting on K-State,
we've lost
man.
Three
I would
road
never
games,
do that in my whole
three
life.
Three road games on hostile environment, including a shitty West Virginia team.
I'll tell you three
That's
things, boys,
at.
I'll never do in my whole life. I will never bet with my own money against the Royals, Chiefs, Spurs, or Jayhawks, ever. You know why? Because I'm a true fan, unlike you.
You're dedicated.
You bet on K-State. You tried to tell me.
I told you what to bet.
You told me you were a KU fan, dude.
I told you what to bet.
Why would you bet on K-State?
Because
I
don't
care about your money.
Is. I know what they do on the road.
No, that's just bad.
No,
that's bad.
I talked to Starsky, too, about it.
You want to talk about Taylor Swift? That's bad karma, bro.
No.
You never bet against your own team, ever.
You know what you got going in. Our last game.
You're not a true KU fan.
Our last game's in Houston. And that's going to determine our seeding.
I used to think that you're a true KU fan.
Hey, only true
Heck
KU
no.
fans can hold their team accountable.
I don't trust you anymore.
Only true KU fans
I don't
can
trust
hold their
you.
Team. It's not always roses, right, Mike? AKA a Chiefs fan.
You need to call
1-800. It's not always roses. You got to call them out sometimes.
You need to call 1-800-GAMBLER, and they will teach you.
I did that for the first 20
years of my life. Yeah, you
did. Tanner. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. They will teach you how to not bet against your own freaking team.
Hey, I never put money down. I didn't put money down.
Yeah, I'm sure.
No, I didn't. You can see, I'll show you every sports book.
Whatever, dude.
I just told you guys what to bet.
Well, I sat there and I go, I'm going to bet on KU today, and I did.
Yeah, well, you're the bastard.
I don't believe
you.
I was all right with the outcome.
You're the whole reason we lost, so.
It was like $5.
You're lying to me right now.
No, I'm not.
You put money on
K-State.
I know he did.
I'm not. I promise. I told Starsky that, too. Anyways, that's what I just had to vent for a minute.
Well, Starsky actually believes in the Jayhawks. That's the difference.
Well, I believe in the Jayhawks. Just not on the road.
Betting against your own team, man.
All right, real quick, you guys.
Unbelievable. I can't even believe what I'm listening to right now.
Before we log off, you guys watching the game at home, is that the plan?
Yeah.
So watching the Super Bowl at your
house? I got to watch it in privacy.
You're watching with your daughters?
Yep.
All right, I'll be at the same place I've been at for the rest of the other games. So that's where I'll be.
Wait until football season. That's right, Osaba. KU in Sporting and Chiefs Kingdom this year. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a good year for
us. I wish I could get into soccer, man. I can't.
No, what are you talking about?
You said Sporting.
KU's playing in Sporting Stadium.
Oh.
In this football season.
Soccer is one of, you know, soccer reminds
that
me
makes
of
sense,
like.
Though.
Yeah, two games there.
Remember when they used to sell, do they still show professional poker on ESPN every once in a while? That's what soccer reminds me of. It's kind of a sport, but not really.
I don't pay attention. I can't.
Mostly a sport, but nobody really watches their shit.
I've tried, and I can't. I just like it.
I do like watching professional poker, though. That's pretty interesting.
I know you do.
Soccer put me to sleep, though.
All right, guys. Well, I hope that Tanner and I are correct about our picks. I hope Jason goes and has a jolly old time over there being sad about his selection. But it looks like we got a little celebration going on the table. Remember, this is live on air right now, Jason. People could break in this house and find that money. And so we don't want that to happen to Tanner's moms. So, all right, guys. I guess with all that said, keep throwing out those dollar bills, y'all, because let's see y'all on the next one. I'm going to give you the tomahawk chop on the way out, baby.
Wait, do I have that?
What are you doing, Tanner? Yeah, producer. You gotta get me ready.
Yeah.
Ready for the Tomahawk Chop, the outro, the Tomahawk Chop outro.
I'm not gonna bet on this game. I have too much money sitting over here.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I can't afford it.
We do have it.
Oh, there it is. Feel the passion. Feel the love.
All the money on the 49ers, baby.
Like you mean it.
All the money on the 49ers.
Like you mean it. How about those Chiefs?
Outro.
See you guys.
See you guys.